This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
On today's sheet, which if you email me at j.golka@gmail.com, I will send you if you're listening online. I'm going to start with something that I did mention a few years ago in the Parashah Shir, but having looked, I often check on Torah Anytime just to check what I've said. I try and make sure that all my material is new. However, I think this was the first or second Shir that I ever gave all those years ago. And I have got some additions to it, and I've got the sources for it. So I thought I would just revisit this first topic because I thought it was a very interesting topic. The parasha begins, Vayeiro Elof Hashem Be'eloni Mamre V'Yoshev Pesach O'el K'chom Hayom. The encounter of Avraham Avinu, recovering from his operation of Bris Mila, and he is pained that there are no Orchim, there are no guests passing by that he can offer his hospitality. Suddenly, three people appear to him, and he gets up and he runs, etc. Rashi famously tells us, why three malachim? So Rashi says, because each one had a specific job. Says Rashi, v'hinei shleisha anoshim, echad levase esoro. One malach's job was to tell Sarah the good news that she was going to give birth to a child. Ve'echod lahapach es Sodom, and one was to destroy Sodom. Ve'echod lerapes es Avraham, to heal Avraham Avinu. Explains Rashi, she'ein malach echod oiseh shtei shlichus, because one malach doesn't do two jobs. One job per malach. So Rashi's got a problem, because there was a fourth job. The fourth job was to save Lot. So how are you going to deal with that? Three malachim, four jobs. So says Rashi, V'Rafael Shiripes Avraham Holach Misham Lahatzeles Lot. Rafael, who had come to extend Bikur Cholim and Refuah to Avraham Avinu, he went and went on from there and saved Lot. That is Rashi's answer to that question. But the question remains, really, three malachim for four jobs. Why wasn't a fourth malach dispatched? Why did you have to use the third malach for these two jobs? And doesn't it break Rashi's rule? So I would like to share two further answers to this question. The first is I heard in the name of Rav Shlomo Kluger. I saw this answer many years ago in a sefer called Shaila Torah. Shaila Torah is a beautiful sefer. I bought it back in yeshiva many years ago. It's authored by Rav Shimon Yosef Miller, who is the author of a lot of brisker literature, biographies and Torah. And he gives the following answer in the name of Rav Shlomo Kluger. And let me preface it with a story that took place to explain what happened. Rav Shlomo Kluger was appointed to be the Rav in a town called Broida. And very soon after he arrived, a tragedy occurred. There was a baby who was going to have a bris milah, but they were delaying the bris. Why were they delaying the bris? Because the father was deathly ill, and they wanted to wait because his death was deemed imminent, and they wanted to delay the bris to wait so that the baby could be named after the father. A tragic situation. The words came to the new Rav in town, Shlomo Kluger, and he sent back immediately, he said, you've got to do the bris straight away. You cannot delay, you need to do the bris straight away. And they listened to the Rav, they did the bris straight away. And remarkably, within a short time, the father improved and eventually recovered fully. So one can imagine that everyone thought that Rav Shlomo Kluger was like a miracle worker. So let's take a look at the third paragraph of this box, box number 1b, and we'll pick up the story from there. Ula. Hagan Rav Shlomo Kluger Zatzal said, Docha Oysom, he pushed them aside, Shetanu Moifesu. They all said it's a miracle. And he said, no, nothing doing. The Omar, Kilomar Ach Mitecha Rashi Sheskanadel. He knew how to conduct himself based on the Rashi which we just read. So that's the difference between you and I and Rav Shlomo Kluger. You and I read the Rashi, okay, nice Rashi. But Rav Shlomo Kluger read the Rashi and saw something much deeper. What does Rashi say? Shekein lechayra tmum advar, because the question still remains. Klum chaserim malachim b'shamayim. Are we lacking malachim in shamayim that we have to give the third malach Rafal, who had given the refuah to Avraham Avinu, and then we send him on to save Lot, why don't we just send the fourth malach? Ela mistaba, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, shelo hayu zechuyos of Lot kach meruba, that the zechuyos of Lot were not that great. At kadesh yishlechu avurei bevad malach miyuchod, that a special designated malach will be sent especially for Lot, latzilo to save him. Omnom, however, kiven she nishlach bein kaya koy malach lerapas is Avraham, since in any event a malach was being sent to heal Avraham, lochein zochov nitzel gamru. So therefore, a malach was being sent anyway for Avraham, therefore, Lot was saved on passant derech agam, by the way. Says the Kluger in the last paragraph over there, af anisiyim Rebbe Shlomo Kluger, I too, concluded, choshavtikach, kesheshochav avi hayeled goises, when the father of the child was on his deathbed, a goises, deathly ill, harim minastam donim osei b'shal zu, at that time, in Shemaim, they were judging this father. The efsha she'en b'yod zuchuyis b'midah, maspekes, and perhaps he did not have sufficient merit, kadei sheyishlechu avure b'myuchadis ha'malach refol, kadei sheyirapeu. Maybe he didn't have enough merit that they would say HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send the Malach especially from Shemaim to heal him. Lefichoch, therefore, tzivesi lomul chishmaher, that I told him to do the bris straight away, she'oz kiven shebo Eliyahu Malach HaBris, but then Eliyahu HaNovi will come and witness every bris like he does till today, the bris hamila, derech agav yovi refua shleima la'avi hayeled, since he was being sent for the bris and he was down anyway, derech agav, en passant, he will go and give a refuah to the father of the child, which is indeed what happens. So that is how Shlomo Kluger explains our question, that a malach was not worthy to be, that Lot wasn't worthy, didn't deserve to have a malach sent specially for him. However, since a malach was being sent to heal Avraham Avinu, derech agav he will go to Lot. Okay, let me tell you one more answer I saw in the writings of the Chiddush Harim. A very brilliant answer. The Chiddush Harim was, of course, the brother-in-law of the Kotzker Rebbe, and the first of the Gera Rebbes, the founding Gera Rebbe. And you'll see the genius of Kotzker and of Gera in this answer. Issa b'medrash, take a look please at paragraph 1c. Issa b'medrash is brought in the medrash. Motzosi David avdi, I found my eved, my servant David, heichon motzosi osoi b'stoim. Where did I find him? I found him in stone. What does that mean? Issa b'gemara nivomis, the gemara nivomis that I involve on the says, the Kaosi Mirus Hamayavir. The David HaMelech, of course, came from Rus, his great grandmother, who had come from the people of Moav. We know that there was a lot of discussion when the nation of Ammon and Moav were not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Did it extend to the entire people or just to the males? Ammoni Vele Ammonis, Moavi Vele Moavis. So the Gemara says it only applies to the males and not to the females. So the Gemara says, well, how come with Mitzri we don't make a distinction? When it says you can't marry into the Mitzri for three generations, we don't differentiate between men and women. We don't say Mitzri below Mitzris. So the Gemara answers, Shani Hocha, the Mefarish Taimed Dekro, Adov Asher Lo Kidmeschem, Lechem Uvamayim. Because what's the whole punishment? Why is it that Ammon and Moav can't become Jewish? Because they didn't come out with bread and water to greet the Jewish people when they were traveling in the Midbar. Because it's the way of the man to go out into the battle zone and to feed the Jewish people and not the women. And therefore, it's the males of Ammon and Moav who are culpable and not the women. But Parich and the Gemara asks, but the men could have delivered food to the men and the women to the women. So again, we've got a problem. Why is it that only the males of Ammon and Moab are punished and not the women? They also should have gone out. Says the Gemara, Masik, called Kvud Bas HaMelech Pnimo. No, the women should not have gone out at all. They were not expected to go out. It was not appropriate for them to go out. Why? Because called Kvud Bas HaMelech Pnimo, that the modesty of a Jewish woman would be, is more inward, and therefore she shouldn't be running out to give these wayfarers in the Midbar, the whole people, to give even the Noshim, to give them lechem and wine, lechem and water, but rather it's the males. Now, this rule of Kol Kvudas Bas HaMelech Pnimo, where does this appear? So listen to what the Chiddush Harim says. He says, genius answer. In truth, there were three malochim for three jobs. One job was to tell the Tzara the news. One job was to destroy Sodom. And one job was to give a refuah to visit Avraham Avinu. There was no need to save Lot. But something happened when the Malachim visited Avraham that created a need which caused a trigger that all of a sudden we have to save Lot. What was that? So the Gemara says, because the Malachim said to Avraham, Aye Sarah Ishtecha, where is your wife Sarah? And he answered, Hi Be'ohela. We learn from there, she's in the tent, Kol Kvuda Bas HaMelech Pnima. Oh, once you've established the rule of Kol Kvuda Bas HaMelech Pnima, that Sarah is staying in the tent and she's not sort of mixing and socializing with all the guests and the wayfarers, we've established this principle. Now, all of a sudden, you have just saved, many centuries later, all the women of Moab and Ammon, because all of a sudden they are no longer culpable for not giving bread and water to the Jewish people. It is only the men and not the women. Says the Chiddushim, second paragraph, V'hine, Kol hatzolas flayt hoye b'shvur sheyotz menu David, k'di isa b'medrash, v'kosha, halu lamadnu lo yov ha'amoni o'mavi b'kal Hashem, ela darshinon ha'amoni v'lo ha'amonis, we darshin ha'amoni v'lo ha'amonis, v'kosha, mashim makshib ha'gomor, v'hoye lohem rekadim ha'noshim nekras ha'noshim, v'noshim nekras ha'noshim, u'meile gam moyav isti asur lo v'kal Hashem. The Moabite women should also be guilty. They can't do that by themselves. And therefore, that would trigger the need to save Lot. In other words, says the Chiddush Aaron, brilliant answer, that there were three malachim to do three jobs. There was no need to save Lot. But all of a sudden, when Avraham was asked, Aye Sora Ishtecho, and he answered, Hi Ba'ela, she's in the tent. We established the principle of Kol Kvudas Bas HaMelech Pnimo. And that is what is going to save Moab, the women from Moab and from Ammon. Oh, once you've established that, quickly, we need to send a new Malach to save Lot, because Lot is going to be the father of Ammon and Moab, and that will produce Rus. From Rus comes David HaMelech. But the legitimacy of David HaMelech and the need to save Lot only took place once we've established the principle of Kol Kvudas Bas HaMelech Pnimo. So you have, therefore, it was a new need, a new reason to send another Malach. And at the time when the three Malachim appeared to Avram, there was no fourth job because there was no need to save Lot. The need to save Lot was only established once the principle of Kol Kvudas Bas HaMelech Pnimo was set in stone. A fabulous answer. And by the way, the Hosafa is an amazing Hosafa. The David HaMelech says, Kais Yeshua's Esau, uv'shem Hashem Ekro. Kais Yeshua's Esau, I lift up the cup of salvation, uv'shem Hashem Ekro. Esau, Kais Yeshua's Esau, stands for Aye Sora Ishtecho, which is the raison d'etre of David HaMelech. Remarkable insight. Okay, let's press on. Next idea is an idea I saw in the writings of my dear brother-in-law, by Jeremy Finn. He quoted, he's produced another sefer on Parash, another fabulous sefer. And in this new sefer, he quotes an idea from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, and he says a lovely idea. Trivia question, nice question to throw out at your Shabbos table. When is the first time the word ahava, love, appears in the Torah? So the answer is that it's this week's parasha. Avraham Avinu is told, Kachno es bincha, es yechidcha, asher ahavto es Yitzchok. Avraham loved Yitzchok. That's the first time we have the word ahavo in the Torah. What is the second time we have the word ahavo in the Torah? The answer is in next week's parasha. The pasuk says that after Eliezer comes back with Rivka, he marries Yitzchok, and Yitzchok marries her, and it says in the pasuk, Vayikach es Rivka, he marries her, and then he loves her. My father always used to say, that love only begins after marriage. Before that, it's romance, infatuation, whatever you want to call it. But really, it's and then when you have the opportunity to give and give and give, then it's vayehaveh. Okay, that's the second time. The third time, when is the third time Ahava appears in the Torah? The answer is in the following parsha, Parsha's Toldos. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, And the Rivka Yehebe says Yaakov. So Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson says an amazing insight. The first time we encounter love in the Torah, it's Avram Avinu loved Yitzchok. Kachno es bincho es yichidcha asher ahavto. Yitzchok felt loved. Because he felt loved, he was able, in the following week's parasha, to love somebody else. And then, the recipient of that love, Rivka, was able to love her children as well. In other words, what we're saying over here is a very powerful idea. If we want our children to grow up as loving, as productive, and as well-balanced members of society, we need to show them love. Because children who receive love are able to give love. And therefore, we see that in this week's parasha. Yitzchak grew up in an environment where he felt loved. And because he felt love, in next week's parasha, he was able to love his wife. And likewise, in the weeks after that, he and Rivka were able to love their children. Very beautiful insight. And just to add to it, my wife told me an interesting thing, that she heard a report, and she's a therapist, and she told me about an interesting study that she came across. There was a fellow called Rosenthal, Professor Robert Rosenthal, and he was a professor at Harvard in the 1960s. He was a very out-of-the-box, interesting professor. He came up with some very interesting ideas. And one time in the 60s, he came up with a study that he would be able to identify when students would experience a sort of a growth spurt in education in the upcoming year. And he did a test, and he got permission. He went into a school, and he did tests over all the school students. And he tested them, and then he tested their IQ. And then he went into the staff, not telling the children, he went to the staff members and, you know, he excitedly told the members of staff which children that he identified were going to have an amazingly successful academic year in the upcoming year. And then one thing he did not tell them was that he had made the whole thing up. Not true. L'hoyev lo nivra. At the end of the year, he came back to the staff and he redid the IQ tests. And amazingly, those kids who he had randomly singled out, but of course he had told the members of staff that he had selected them carefully because of his based on his testing, those kids had you know, succeeded tremendously. Some of them had gained, I think, 4 points on the IQ, and in the lower years, up to 15 levels on the IQ. Something astonishing. What is the message of that experiment? What it taught him is that if teachers shower their students with, they have belief in their students, they have confidence in their students, they demonstrate and they shower them with love, then the students themselves feel that confidence, feel beloved, and will be able to perform so much better. And that's really the message of this week's parasha. Yitzchak is the first one to experience love, as we're told in this week's parasha, and therefore he's able in next week's parasha to express that love to Rivka, who then is able to express it to their children, etc., etc. Very interesting, a very beautiful idea. Let's finish with one final idea. Of course, at the end of the parasha, we again read about the Akedah. One of the famous kashas on the Akedah that everyone asks, the pasuk says, one of the questions that everyone asks is, why exactly is this a test for Avraham? Surely this is a test for Yitzchak. After all, he was the one who was going to be shechted. He was the one who was going to be bound up and killed. So isn't it a test for him? Why is this specifically a test for Avraham Avinu? Now, I came across an answer. I think it's a well-known answer, but I saw it in the writings, amazingly, of the Machatzis HaShekel, a famous Pirush on Shulchan Aruch. And this is found in Shulchan Aruch in the Halachas of Rosh Hashanah. What has this got to do with Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch is going through the Loshen of the Shmoneh Esra and Chazor HaSashatz, and it says Va'kedas Yitzchok Hayom Lezara Tizkor, etc., etc. So the Machatzis HaShekel says this: Harishonu Matzkirim Zuchus Maisa Avraham She'okud B'nei Lasis Ritzon Yitzbarach. We mentioned the Zuchus of Avraham that he bound his son. Tfei Havelon Nahaske Zuchus Yitzchok. Shouldn't we have mentioned the Zuchus of Yitzchok? Shemir Tzoyna Hiniach Esatzman La'akoit, that he allowed himself to be bound up and to be offered up. Shekvaho Yeben Lamed Zayin Shonim, he wasn't a child, he was 37 years old. Shelacher Zuchus Yitzchok Yosegol Mizchus Avram. Surely the Zuchus of Yitzchok was greater than that of Avram. So answers the Machatzis HaShekel. Ela al korchuch tzorech lema, you have to say, the Zuchus Maisa Avram Yosegol. The Zuchus of Avram was even greater. Uchadis of the Medrash Rabba, like it says in the Medrash Rabba, the Nisoyin HaAsiri, the Hainu Akeda, according to most, not everyone, but according to most, the 10th and final Nisoyin was that of the Akedah. And obviously, the 10th test is going to be more difficult than the one before it. Otherwise, it's not a test. So therefore, they get progressively harder. So the 10th test is going to be harder than the ones before it. And the Sefer Nezer Kodesh explains, Hatam, that he was thrown into Kivshan Ha'es in Ur Kasdim. And that was an earlier Nisoyin. So you see that the Akedah was seemingly more difficult than the Nisoyin of dying Al Kiddush Hashem, because Avraham Avinu had already encountered that and passed that test way earlier. How can that be? Mikol Mokum Nisoyin Ha'akedah Yosegodl, the Tsar Hasreifa Ein El Fishor Atzeis HaNefesh. Because the tsar of the strafa of dying al kiddush Hashem, however amazingly great that is momentary. Al seis hanefesh, until the soul expires. Masha'en kein nishchet b'nei yichidai, but to shecht his beloved only son, the nitzan el achameh shana that was given to him after 100 years of wait, as it were, hu tsar masmit kol yimei chay Avram. That is a constant, ongoing tsar. If he would have shechted Yitzchok, he would have had to live with that for the rest of his life. Etc. And therefore concludes the Machatz Hashekel, it was greater than the Zuchus of Yitzchok, to Gamba be Yitzchok, Avram Hayatzar Masmit. Because even greater than dying Al Kiddush Hashem is living Al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, I read not long ago the biography of the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rebbe was one of the outstanding leaders in Talmudei Chachamim of the 20th century. He died, I think, in the 1960s. He's not so well known, but the more you read about him, the more you realize he was the Rebbe's Rebbe, as it were. The greatest of the Rosh Hashiva and the Rebbe's would go to him to discuss in learning. And he was one of the outstanding giants in the 20th century. Before the war, during the war, he suffered terribly. He lost his wife, he lost 2 sons and 3 daughters. He spent years in Siberia, and he survived the war and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and 2 of his daughters survived. He never lost his wife, 2 sons, 3 daughters, but 2 daughters survived. And he came to Eretz Yisrael, he settled in Shaarei Chesed, and his 2 daughters married, and a great simcha occurred that one of his daughters gave birth to a child. And you can imagine, in a way, this was bittersweet. He had suffered so much, so terribly, but Baruch Hashem, now he had a grandchild, and this was a source of nechama, and even a nechama, vengeance against the perpetrators of the Holocaust. And unfortunately, a few days after the child was born, the child became very ill, and Nebuchadnezzar passed away. I mean, you can imagine, the parents were distraught, but they were very distraught because they had to break the news to the Zayda, who had found some simcha after experiencing horrific pain during the Holocaust and beyond. And it was left to the other son-in-law to go and tell him. And he was seen pacing up and down Shaarei Chesed, the streets of Rehavia, thinking, how am I going to tell my father-in-law? And he knocked on the door there, and the Chabina Rav came out. There was a Rashba open on the table. He was immersed in learning. And he saw his son-in-law, and he suddenly came to, sort of he stopped his Torah thinking and learning, and he looked at his son-in-law and said, what's up? What's news? And he saw from the pain on the son-in-law's face, and he looked at him and he said, is it all over? And the son-in-law had no words. Nebuchadnezzar had to tell him yes. And the Chabina Rav, he described, he put his head in his hand and leaned on the doorpost. And he was silent for a few moments. And he looked at his son-in-law and then said, Lule soirosko shashuoi ozovadati boni. Were it not for your Torah that is my delight, I would have been totally lost. Now that is a person who's experienced tremendous tsar and pain, and yet continues to learn and to teach, besimcha, etc. Dying al kiddush Hashem is a lofty madriga that none of us should ever be challenged with. But even greater than that is living al kiddush Hashem. And that's why it's dafka and nisoyin for Avraham Avinu, and that is the zechus we draw on Rosh Hashanah. So there we have three interesting ideas. The first idea was, why three malachim for four jobs? Three answers, really. The first answer is that of Rashi, that the malach who came to visit Avraham Avinu, which was the malach of Rafael, then went on to visit Leit. Hatzala Rafua is the same sort of idea. The second answer is of Shlomo Kluger, that really Leit didn't merit it, but since the malach was being sent down anyway, derech agav it will go, similar to the story with him in the bris. And then the Chidush Arim, that genius answer, that really there were three malachim for three jobs, but something happened which triggered the need to save Leit, and a new malach was dispatched. What was that? When they established the principle of Kol Kvudas Bas HaMelech, when Avraham was asked, Ayesh Sora Ishtecha, all of a sudden we've got to save Leit. Why? Because now we need to save Leit, because from him will come Moya, from him will come Rus, and now Rus is allowed to come into the Kaal of Klal Yisrael, and now from Rus comes David HaMelech, which is the future destiny of the entire Jewish people. Avo, when is the first time we come across it in the Torah? This week's parasha. Yitzchok felt the love of his father and therefore was able to reciprocate and extend that Avo in next week's parasha to Rivka and eventually to their children. The more we demonstrate love to our children, the more they will be built, and also the more they will be able to build and to express, demonstrate love in their own relationships. And lastly, the kasha, the famous kasha, why is this specifically a nisoyin for Avraham Avinu? And the answer that the Machaseh Sashekel gives is that even greater than dying al kiddush Hashem is living al kiddush Hashem. Thank you very much. I wish you a good evening and a very good Shabbos. Kol tov. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.